Columbus.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Wagwan! Welcome to an edition of T-Bone and Tybus. T-Bone is in New York with Fish, probably stuffing his face. But Tybus
this
is
early?
Yeah, this early.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, T-Bone's crazy. Let me set it up. I'm Tybus Powell. I'm always here. We got Dylan that's going to keep us on schedule and make sure that we got a show when T-Bone comes back. And joining me, my brother from another mother, Joshua Perry. Hey, JP.
How we doing?
Hey, man, listen, we going to find out because we got 3 hours get through. I'm making debut into the one chair. We going to see how it goes. Uh-oh is right.
Yeah,
but yeah, buddy. Yeah, T-Bone was him and Fish. They plan out where they was going.
Took the private jet.
Yeah, yesterday sending me pictures of sandwiches.
Did they
and
go
whatnot.
To the deli?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Some UK make nothing like this. I told them that I personally could make them a sandwich that would taste very similar.
See, I disagree with that.
I got a panini press at the house and everything.
See,
all out.
What you really need is you need a deli slicer at the house so you can slice the meat fresh. You know how they do it? You ever watch them at Jersey Mike's? It's
a
show.
But that's right? That's a lot. Because see, now I got to buy the whole thing.
That's right. Or you can make it. Have you ever seen the videos of people making the deli meat on social media?
No, I just go to the grocery store and just say, chipped or sliced.
You say, I need a pound of this.
Yes.
And a pound of that.
That's what I got at the house right now.
So you do that and then you build the sandwich and then you take the paper and you roll it nice and tight. And that's how you get the layers all smashed together.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going to just do it my way where I go to the counter. Give me that. Give me a pound of turkey, a pound of pepperoni, some hot pepper cheese.
There you go.
Yeah. Got some chicken. I've been in this garlic herb chicken thing. Yeah, a little spice it up a little bit. Put that on the press and go ahead and have me a sandwich like that. T-Bone would die.
I don't do that anymore because we're balling on a budget over here. I'm on the prepackaged meats.
Where I'm
over to the meat section.
I'm supposed to be bad for you.
Went to Aldi, got some prepackaged chicken, cold cuts, a little bit of turkey.
Well, hold on, wait.
Okay. And some keto bread.
Not desperate enough to go to Aldi's, but.
Okay. No.
Wait a minute.
Fiscally responsible.
Wait a minute.
Desperate, okay?
Ain't nothing wrong with Aldi's at all, first of all.
Secondly, you go to Bucky's and get a pound of jerky. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's an investment.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like
$15 a pound, by the way.
Half a pound.
You know what? I wanted to talk to you about something. So
before we get into that, you know my wife.
I do.
Madison. She said yesterday that this was a really bad idea, and she was worried for us.
Why?
She doesn't think we could pull it off.
Well, Maddie. You about to be amazed.
Let me lock in.
That's right. We're going to lock in. But before we get to the sports topic, I want to ask you because I remember Bobby Carpenter saying something to me a long time ago. I said, Bobby, why do you continue to work out like you do? And he said to me that the reason that he works out all the time.
Attention.
he said that. His wife, when he met his wife, he looked a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And he owes it to his wife to continue to look that way. I thought about that last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring the question to you. Do you feel like that's the right thing to do? And do you want to live by that? Because if you do, I got a proposition for you.
Okay. All right. So do I feel like I owe it to her?
You owe it to Maddie to look like how you did when she first met you.
Not necessarily. Our vows basically said, wherever you're at in life, this is how we're going to do it. Okay. So I don't know if it's necessarily that I owe it to her. I would like to be a little bit more in shape for me, for her, for the family. But that also comes at a cost. Bobby Carpenter, four children, lives at the Woody.
He does.
You think my wife is going to let me live at the gym?
You go often, don't you?
I go, but I go at times like if I wasn't doing this right now.
You'd be at the gym.
I would be at the gym. Guess what everybody else is doing?
Sleep.
They're sleeping. So it doesn't take away.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's the balance that I'm trying to strike.
Well, this is what we can do. If you are interested, we could do burpees in the break.
No, thank you.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't come in my sweating clothes.
Listen.
It's hot outside. It's hot everywhere.
Don't you want to walk back in and Maddie look at you and just kind of growl at you a little bit?
I don't think 43 burpees during the break today.
No, we're not going to do 43. We're going to do 10 to 15 in the break.
That's what I'm saying. Like 43 total. I don't think she's going to look at me and growl, as you say.
It happens over like you. Somebody,
I'm here for two days.
This is not something that you just do one day and then that's
I'm
it.
Here for two.
Oh my goodness!
I'm gonna walk in tomorrow. You're not serious.
You're not serious.
I am serious.
Being in shape.
I am. I'm going to the gym. I'm probably gonna do a fast T-bone.
I'm gonna
do a fast later this month. 3 days. I'm gonna fast
of what?
Just water.
Oh, good luck with that.
I did it last year.
You are absolutely crazy.
I did it a year ago. No. It was great. I'm going to do it again.
Dylan, you want to do burpees with me in the break?
Not particularly. No.
Y'all, I hate y'all too.
Hate's a strong word.
We got a lot going on today on this show. We got to get into the Zach Werenski trade. Obviously, LeBron James have broken the internet again with all of where he's going. We got to talk about Diana Rossini later on.
Uh-oh.
And then one of the interesting topics is that we are going to talk about OSU recruiting later on, about how it's been impacted or if it's been impacted.
Also, ask Tyvus anything
at 7:30.
We're going to switch that
to Ask the Show.
Ask Tyvus anything.
No.
I will host that segment.
This question that people got for you too. We're going to ask the show today. We're going to switch that segment to Ask the Show so you can ask me and Joshua anything. Hey, you know, I woke up at 4:00 this morning.
Did you?
I did. This for me is like game day. You know how when you're preparing for a game,
you get butterflies?
Yeah. I was up at 4:00 and I was just going over how I was going to do this show, how I was going to start it, how I was going to get us in and out of everything. And then on top of that, my son woke up and I felt kind of bad because Lauren was like, I haven't slept since 2:30.
Oh, man. We have had a rough couple of days.
Really?
With Charlotte.
Really?
She's a little under the weather. She's got the liquid poo going on.
Mm.
Little diaper rash to exacerbate all of the feelings that she's already feeling. So, yeah, we had a couple. We've been in the trenches.
Yeah, well, I ain't there yet, but they say that the baby switches around four to six weeks, and we're at the month mark tomorrow.
Okay.
Actually, he'll be a month. So we'll see how that goes. I think I'm a baby whisperer. Lauren don't want to admit it, but like I think I know Trace a little bit better than she does.
She doesn't want to admit it. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think y'all just naturally have that bond.
Yeah. Anyways, they went to the water park yesterday and left me with him, and we were fine.
Where'd they go, Zumbezi?
No, they went to, what's that park? The water park by,
I only know Zumbezi.
It's off of 23. It's like the, it's got like, I don't know the name of it. Orange something.
Oh, yeah. Orange Township.
Yeah.
Pool. They got the big slides over there.
Right. They went to that yesterday and they left me with Trace and we were fine. We had a great time. I was fed him. He slept majority of the time. It was great, man. Now listen, this father thing, I know what I'm doing. I got this over here.
You got like a little daddy daycare situation.
I wouldn't say that I'm watching everybody's kids, but if you need me, you know, to hold it down for a little bit, I definitely think I could do that. I'm definitely willing and capable of doing
so
that.
I'll tell you this about James yesterday. Maddie went and took a nap. Maddie's got bad insomnia. She doesn't sleep. So like she'll, for example, she went to sleep last night. I was shocked. She'll go to sleep at like 4 and I had my alarm set for 4:03. So we would have just been up at the same time this morning. So she takes a nap while Charlotte's taking a nap. So it's me and James. James's new thing is Monsters, Inc.
Oh,
loves the movie.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah. And, you know, Sully, James P. Sullivan, the whole deal. So Now he says, "Daddy, go to sleep." And so I'll pretend like I'm asleep and he'll go, and so we did that for a good half an hour yesterday.
And Maddie didn't like that?
No, she was just asleep. And so we, you know, it was how I was entertaining him.
So you was able to handle him and Charlotte.
Yeah, we're good.
Good for you, man.
We're good.
Good for you. That's how I am too.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tybus. They're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan.
Some couple decided to climb the Empire State Building. And I'm looking at it like, what are you talking about, right? This building is 1,454 meters, or feet, I should say, above the sidewalks in Midtown Manhattan. Angela and, I don't even know, Vanya?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Decided to just, first of all, who just, Josh, let's just go climb a building. Like, who thinks of something like this?
Not us.
Clearly not, because I wouldn't make it. I could barely climb a tree, so there's no way that I'd do this. But
you don't think you could climb a tree?
It's been so long, Josh. I feel like I think I still could.
Got to be a sturdy tree.
I feel like it's like riding a bike. Like once you learn how to climb a tree,
I wouldn't go that far.
Once you learn how to climb a tree, you should be able to climb a tree. But like I've never took it past that. Like I actually like those people that know how to climb buildings. And
you ever do a rock wall when you were a kid? Rock climbing?
I don't think so. I know there was one at Ohio State that I always wanted to go try.
I was scared when I was a kid.
Why?
I didn't want to.
You're on a bungee cord.
I didn't want to go up the height.
You one of those guys. You got a fear of heights?
I used to. I got over it.
So you think you could climb the building? If you had the ability
No. I would pass out. I would look down once and pass out. When we moved to Chicago, we were looking at these apartments in high-rise buildings. And one of the apartments that my wife really wanted to move into was on like the 40-something floor.
Okay.
And so we went.
First of all, I visited you in Chicago. Y'all still were up high.
Yeah, but it wasn't as high. So we went. It was cool. And then we went again. And the woman doing the tour was like, oh, you know, there's a balcony. Go on the balcony. I looked at that thing. I shook my head and I said, no, I'm good. And
you didn't even go out there.
No. And then I told Maddie, I'm like, we can't move into this thing. So I had to work my way up to the heights. So we were on like the 26th and then the 29th. And then the last one we lived in was on the 38th floor. So I finally got over my fears.
Josh, you're too old to be doing that.
Which is crazy because I get in planes and I have no issue.
That's what I'm saying.
No issue. But it's the idea of like that. The plane, I'm locked in, I'm secure. But like when you stand up against that window and you look down and you feel like at any moment that window could fall out, it's a different feeling for me.
Okay, who leans up on the window?
So you can see everything. You want to see down to the street, see the people on the sidewalk right along your building walking around?
I'll get real close. I ain't touching the window.
You got to go right up to it.
So
that's how I conquered my fear.
I guess. Josh, you're too old to be doing that. See, I'm going to just tell you that now.
My perception of heights like that is totally thrown off because when I was a kid, my mom worked in the World Trade Center and she worked on the 88th floor. And I used to go to work with her all the time and be up there looking out the window. People here, you go up 15 stories and they're scared.
I think the highest I've ever been outside of a plane is I went to the Space Needle in Seattle. And when you get up into the Space Needle, like it's like you can walk outside on the deck and it's the little circular thing. I was fine.
Is that higher than Sears Tower?
I have no idea.
I just went there last week.
No idea. And somebody brought it up in the chat. Connor said, is it the fear of heights or the fear of falling? And I guess it's more the falling aspect.
Josh. If you could fly, you're not going to be scared of heights.
You know, like I've done roller coasters and I'm I've been fine on those, but I won't.
You know, I was scared of roller coasters until I met Lauren.
You know, the wild part about it though, you ever see like the dragster all the time, it just like gets stuck.
Yeah.
I refuse because I won't be up there. That's where I'll start to feel like I'm going to drop. I won't get stuck. I'm not doing that.
Here's the thing. If you like roller coasters, you have to be scared of roller coasters. That's just the science behind it.
No.
Like the feeling you get, that thrill comes from fear. So if someone says, like, I just like riding roller coasters, but I don't get scared, that means it don't do anything for you. That's a lie.
It, you know, you go fast, you might just like going fast.
You know what? Like I said, I didn't get on a roller coaster until I met Lauren. And the reason that I really never was going to get on one, but, you know, we went to Cedar Point
one
day.
Is she a thrill seeker?
She likes roller coasters, yes.
Okay.
So she was like, she never asked me, you know, did I get on rides or anything like that? It never came up. She just, I guess she assumed that I always got on roller coaster rides. So when we got to Cedar Point, I forget what ride it was. It was like the Toy Course one. I don't know what it's called. I can't think of it. Gatekeeper.
Okay.
Gatekeeper, I think is the name of it. That was the one she's like, this is going to be our warm-up ride.
Warm-up.
It's our warm-up. I'm like, okay. I've never been on it because I don't ride rides. And my biggest fear was the ones that went upside down. Those are the ones that I was scared of the most because I was like, I'm going to lose the change or my phone going to fall out of my pocket.
I'm going to lose
something like that.
You'll be fine.
That was my thing. And I did it without ever saying nothing. I just did it because I'm at the gate. Now I didn't pay for the tickets. This way I'm coming there. And I realized it's nothing. It's nothing. I mean, all this life, it took me like 22 years to finally get over this fear. And it was just like, it was nothing.
The roller coasters are great.
The height thing is.
I guess the people are bringing me to the bigger picture here. I don't think I could do that, what they did, climbing the building.
No, they're insane.
Because of this whole idea of like...
Hold on, I'm trying to read the banner. When the power of love beats the love of power, the world knows peace. Is that what that says?
That's exactly what it says. But this, for example, have you ever been in a tall building when it's super windy out?
It shakes.
Yeah, they move a little bit, which is a good thing.
Okay.
That feeling right there, I'm done.
First of all, I ain't in tall buildings like that. That's one. Two, I can understand that, but I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Good for you.
It just doesn't bother me.
I don't have the stomach for it.
If this is how we going out.
Whoa. So you're at peace with moving to the other realm.
Yeah, I think you should be. You can't just be fear. You can't have a fear of it all the
time.
I'm
not saying you have a fear of it, but like, I don't know if I was laying on my deathbed right now, I don't know if I'd be at peace. I feel like there's so much more.
Well, we're different because we have young kids. So it's like, you're going to miss a lot of their.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I'm not at peace with that.
Have you accomplished the things that you wanted to accomplish in life?
There's another level.
Oh. Well, I'm complacent. I just want my two chair.
You're
back.
Good. You're good.
Monday, my life will be great again.
I don't know why you're so scared of this one chair. You've been doing a hell of a job.
It's just a different vibe. It's a different vibe, man. Like I can't even be in the YouTube chat like I want to. You know, you got to be locked in. You got to look at the clock and pay attention to the clock. All these things. It's just it's a lot there. Back to the matter is, back to this story. Did they get arrested for this?
I have no idea.
Dylan's on the phone, so he can't confirm. I think these people got arrested for this. And if they did,
there was a proposal in here.
I wouldn't even give them that much time.
Did you know that?
No.
There was a proposal.
What's the proposal?
It said that dude got down on the knee and proposed.
He climbed the thing?
Yep.
And when he was up there,
he got down on one knee before the couple embraced and kissed. So it appeared to be a proposal.
You know, Josh.
How did you propose to Lauren?
How did I propose to Lauren?
Yeah.
So this is funny. I got 2 minutes. So this is funny. All up until leading up to the proposal, I had this tweet that I put out back when I was in college. And I always live by, and I always try to stand on the things that I say. If I say it, then I got to stand on what I say.
And so you said you were never getting on knee.
I said, I ain't even taking knee in the Sugar Bowl. What do I look like taking a knee?
God.
For you.
that was crazy.
That was a tweet that I put out. This was back when this is the old Tyvus.
Back when you were banging.
Yeah, this is the old Tyvus. My mindset has shifted. I'm not even that guy anymore. But leading up to the proposal.
This is crazy.
That was on my mind for like a good 48 hours. And I was like, do I stand on what I said and don't necessarily get down on a knee? Maybe just
were you wearing Jordans?
I was.
You didn't want to crease them.
That didn't matter. It was that, do I put the knee on the ground? Because it was snowing outside. And do I like put my knee in the snow?
Yes.
Or do I just hover the ground?
Did you hover?
No, I put my knee on the ground.
Good for you.
I went against my word.
Good for you.
I went against my word.
You made the right decision.
Laura knows that I love her because I went against my word.
You made the right decision.
I stand on everything that I say.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. The best of T-Bone and Tyvus. Yes, this is pre-recorded, but Tyvus is so dedicated, he's still here running the board. The Fan.
All right, so one of the big things that happened in college basketball yesterday or last year was always about how much money each roster cost, right? You got the Wolverines saying that they spent around, I think he said, Dusty said, what, 10? Around 10 million or something like that was his roster?
Yep.
Well, yesterday, Rick Pitino revealed under oath that Xavier will have $14 million in roster compensation this season. So the money is only going up. They were last year at $5.5 million. So they tripled their money. It must be a lot of Xavier boosters that want to see the program up. How you feel about this, Josh?
Well, I wish some of it was in my pocket.
Yeah, I know.
Start right there. Probably spend it a little bit better than old Richard Pitino there. But it's the world that we're in. And there are multiple factors of this. Like, I think the biggest thing, and if you talk to coaches or ADs or anybody who's in this, they would tell you that the free agency aspect of this is why the money's going up and why it's so crazy. Because every year, guys can just hop in the portal, or they can say, like, I won't get in the portal if you give me more money. So I'm going in there, I'm getting more money, or I can stay here and you can just give it to me.
Joshua, as a former player, go back to old JEP, RIP JEP. We need that guy.
Mr. Joshua Perry now.
No. I will RIP JEP. That's the guy I want to talk to. If you were at Ohio State and NIL was a thing, would you have gotten a portal every year just to test the waters?
I don't think I would have. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't tell you exactly what I would have done, but Ohio State was, and I guess it's like the old school mentality. I wanted to be there. It was close to homes where I felt like I was going to develop the best. This is a place I wanted to call home in my future. Like, I didn't necessarily desire to be anywhere else. Now, if you're sitting there and let's say your value as a linebacker is like starting linebacker and power four is $700,000, mm-hmm, and they're like, we'll give you $400,000, I might have to threaten.
You mean to tell me
a $300,000 swing is like, you got to threaten at that point?
You mean to tell me all the times you and Fick got into it, you wouldn't have thought about, you know what, I'm getting out of here?
Oh, I thought about it already. Let's be perfectly clear.
The way me and Coach Ash clash, I would have threatened him every day. Listen, you keep messing with me, I'm going to get in the room.
You see that door right there? I'll walk right out.
Then I would have seen Malik get them interceptions, and I would have been like, you know what? Never mind.
Do you think you would have been a guy who would have tested free agency?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Because
you're all in.
One, yeah. I mean, one, for me, I think that they would have done a good job of taking care of me. right?
You like, think?
I think so.
But I feel like this is the because thing I've learned in the world.
I wasn't high maintenance, though.
See,
it's not like, okay.
Those are the ones that they don't take care of.
No, I don't think that's the case.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Josh.
No, I'm telling you this.
If my position, on average, paid $1 million,
uh-huh.
I don't think they would come to me and be like, yeah, we're going to give you $200,000.
No, but they probably come and be like, we'll give you $800,000. And then what are you going to do about that?
That's fine.
Oh, see.
That's fine.
It's a little 20%.
I mean, because you got to think about it. $800,000, but I'm also playing at Ohio State, where I'm going to be on TV, where if I do well, it's probably
going to parlay. LSU is going to give you 1.2.
Well, then I'm going to have a conversation.
Exactly. I guess that's what I'm getting at is, like, I think the idea that both you and I probably would not have been high maintenance when it comes to this, like, those are the guys that I feel like end up getting the short end of the stick. Because the guys who are constantly bitching about money and their agents calling, like, it's tiring, and coaches are like, oh, I don't know if I want to deal with it. And then we all see that these guys end up getting the money that they were.
I don't think so.
Well, not.
Now, yeah. Did you see the transfer portal this past year?
I'm not saying like they every player that gets like, in.
Ohio State said Arrivederci. We right. ain't paying you.
Those guys got their money somewhere else, though. But I'm saying guys who played got money. There was that whole, remember the whole Bo Jackson thing?
I'm trying to think of who played that left. Did anybody play?
That's what I'm getting at. The bad players are gone. I'm not saying that they're bad players, but the guys who didn't provide the value and ask for more money, they were gone. The guys who were like, I need a little bit of a raise, the Bo Jackson thing got a little bit weird, didn't it?
I thought for a second he was gone.
And then they found money. And I guess that's what I'm getting at is like you and I coming in there and we're low maintenance guys. This happens in the business world too. That's why you need an advocate. That's why when it comes down to contract time, you got to go in there and you got to start swinging a little bit. And then they're still going to try to shortchange you.
I just give me the.
See?
Give me the pen.
I went through this
give me the pen.
At my other job.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like you do everything right. You be as low maintenance as you want to be. And I was sitting there thinking for a sec, like, damn, what if I was one of those guys who was a diva? Maybe they would have put a little bit more money in my check. And that's you know, the squeaky
thing,
wheel.
You know, the one thing
gets the grease.
A lot of people in this broadcasting field get that I refuse to ask for, but I do want it, is that they refuse to fly anything but first class. That's the one thing they. I'm not sitting in coach or
economy. I haven't sat in coach in years.
Must be nice.
They have you flying in coach to go to like Seattle and Eugene.
Yeah, I'm never doing that.
Oh man,
I never put it in my contract that I'm listen, man.
You should ask for it.
I'm happy enough to just get the ticket.
You should ask for it.
Tell your agent, Richard Sherman.
These guys, all these big companies use travel agencies anyway, and they do so much business that they're not paying what you see when you open up the app. I would ask for it.
It's
personally.
Too late. I already signed it.
What? You're a big man to be sitting back there.
I sent it to you before I signed it.
You're a big man to be sitting back there. Hey. With your knees in the back of somebody else's seat. And they barely want to give you half. They barely want to give you a half a lemonade.
I'm an exit row type.
And have you seen the shrinkflation on the pretzels that they give you back there?
I don't eat that stuff.
That is insane. You know, I get on there. You get whatever you want. Josh, what kind of snacks do you like?
I don't eat.
You know
this
those
stuff.
Little Biscoff cookies? They came out with the Biscoff cookies that you get on the plane. They're delicious.
Them is good.
They have one now that has. It's like an Oreo. It has a cream filling in the middle. I get like eight
why
of those.
Why do you?
I have one in my backpack right now in case of emergency.
Josh,
they don't tell you not to take more when you're sitting up there. You should do it.
It's too late.
Next year.
I'm about to say you. Next year we had this conversation.
That's the first thing you need to say.
It's already
the
done.
First thing you need to say, at least, is on the long flights. If I'm flying to the West Coast, I'm not sitting in the back.
It's not that big of a deal.
It is. It is.
It's really not.
You're not paying for it. It's a big deal at that point.
Josh.
if we were talking about coming out of your own pocket for it.
Didn't we just talk about
it? It's a different conversation.
Did we not just talk about being low maintenance?
This is not a high maintenance thing to ask for.
Yes, it is.
No. I promise you. I've seen some high maintenance things that people ask for. This is not high maintenance.
They got Tarico and a PJ.
I wore all green M&Ms. I wore a bowl of all green M&Ms.
See, and that's the kind of stuff that you don't ask for. But I think you can tell them I'm not sitting in the back of the plane when I got to sit there for 4.5 hours.
I'm not. First of all, on those flights, I'm not sitting in the back of the plane. I'm going to the exit row.
The exit row does nothing about the hip and the shoulder space.
What's that? Hello? I don't have that issue.
Yes, you do. Have you seen yourself lately? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. 250, 260, you got that problem.
Gosh, I'm fine. I'm not asking for that right now.
Somebody tell Tyvus that it's okay. It's a negotiation. That's the whole thing, is you're negotiating. So you ask for something. There's a give and a take.
They're going to tell me to go fly a kite.
No, they won't.
They're going to say, go outside and touch grass.
I know that company. I don't think they want to do that.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. If it's Buckeye football you crave, you've come to the right place. And if it's day drinking you crave, you've also come to the right place. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's the best of T-Bone and Tyvus. I know what you're thinking. This is so good you can't believe it's pre-recorded. But it is. So if a comment hits and we don't respond, that's why. The Fan.
All right. So, Dylan, you can set this up. You threw this on the sheet. What is this article about this Big Ten expansion?
So basically, because of the Save College Sports Act that may or may not be implemented at some point, that will essentially prohibit conferences from expanding.
Okay.
So this article from Matt Hayes of Yahoo Sports, not Matty Ice, Matt Hayes of Yahoo Sports, he threw out the question of whether the Big Ten and the SEC should expand while they still have the opportunity, because that opportunity could be going away shortly.
Now, the interesting thing about this is the well is getting dry when you talk about expanding. There's not like a lot of teams out there that I will really want the Big Ten to go get. Obviously, there's nobody in the Pac-12. They kind of ended them.
Well,
the only team, the layup is Notre Dame. That's everybody, both conferences, both would probably take Notre Dame if they was willing to join.
They won't do it.
They won't. But if they did, I know we don't even care about where the region of it is anymore, but it just makes more sense for them to be in the Big Ten. And if they did that, that's the rest of the teams is pretty irrelevant to me, personally.
Would you look at a UNC? This is what people have suggested.
Well, basketball, Bill Belichick ain't got nothing coming.
I think you can make an argument.
You
want to
deal with him and Jordan Hudson?
That they might be a little bit of a sleeping giant. Like if you had the right coach in there, and that is a state where apparently folks want to live there badly, like population shift, all those different things. Like, I don't know. It becomes interesting. If you had Big Ten resources to give to a place like UNC, does that not give them a little bit more juice to become a team that is year in and year out more competitive?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Not at all? No shot?
No.
So Indiana, no shot?
They got lucky.
Okay.
Oh, man.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I think this is the world of collegiate athletics where it's like, if the right opportunity meets all of the resources, a highly resourced era, teams can become a little bit more attractive. I'm not saying that they should. I think this idea, first off, if the Big Ten is going to add, or the SEC, it feels like we're hitting the law of diminishing returns, where you can't create all of the matchups that you would want with the teams that you would add anyway. So it'd be harder to sell all of this inventory as like interesting because you'd end up getting, you know, who do you add? UNC. Okay. So UNC and Northwestern, how do you feel about that as a football matchup?
I'm not watching that.
Okay. That's kind of my
bad,
point on
bad
that
ball. So, bad ball.
Yeah, I think you
it could be interesting. Is RJ Day there?
I'll
watch.
You'd want to trim from the bottom. But then you lose Indiana potentially winning a championship doing that. But that's the only way.
Not if you start today.
That's the only way I think you could actually get it done. Adding new members is you'd have to trim.
Okay.
So you can create all of these matchups that are interesting.
So you want to add. Let's say you said you want to add UNC and Duke.
I don't necessarily want to add them, but
no,
I'm just saying. Would you consider
UNC, Duke, Virginia Tech, you said Notre Dame's probably not, but let's just throw them in the mix.
Okay.
So let's say you had four teams that wanted to join the Big Ten, but you had to cut four teams.
Great.
What's the four?
Well, Rutgers, we love you. You got to go.
Okay.
We don't.
Maryland.
Okay.
See you later.
We should have never done those deals in the first place. You got to go. How do we feel about a Northwestern?
Like, I think there's a more obvious third choice.
Aren't they
Purdue?
More,
see you later.
Purdue should be gone.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm having buyer's remorse on Nebraska.
Ooh. Yeah. What have they done?
Sell out every game. I feel like, see, Nebraska's one of them schools that
they're good for the brand.
They're on the cusp.
Every year,
they're so close.
Are they close?
You know who they remind me of? They remind me of like an Indiana.
They're close.
They remind me of an Indiana because I feel like
they're seven and five every year.
No, I feel like first of all, they start off well and then they can't finish a season to save their life.
That's what Maryland does.
Like they start off like five and zero every year, and then blow it.
Is Maryland gonna be a playoff team?
Maryland at least got a quarterback.
4-0 every year.
They got a quarterback. The Malik Washington.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. I don't know if they're gonna keep him past this season.
Well, they kept him this year, which was important.
Yeah.
Locks might be gone too.
Nebraska, I'm telling you, if they find a Kirk Cignetti.
If.
You don't believe in Matt Rhule?
No. I was never drinking the Rhule.
Couldn't you say the same thing? And this is, you brought up Purdue, but like, couldn't you say the same thing? Like, Jeff Brohm had Purdue playing pretty good ball.
He had
Purdue
he got
representing the Big Ten West.
What's our Lincoln. Kehoe?
Yep. Yeah. So I guess my thing is like, it's a hard exercise to say you want to cut. And part of this is the history and the legacy of the Big Ten. But to me, I don't think you're at a point where you can continue to add in either the SEC or the Big Ten without saying that you'd want to trim a little bit of the fat.
So you never gave me the fourth team.
I don't know.
And that's the decision you got to make.
That's why I don't make these decisions.
But that's not what they would actually do.
They wouldn't.
They would just continue to expand. I mean,
how do you create a football schedule with a 20-team conference?
You
with a 22-team conference?
You got to go back to divisions.
That's ass.
And you got to.
What do you mean, like legions and legends?
No, not
legions. Legions and legends and legions.
Leaders and legends.
No, those names were ass. We don't need that again. But like a true East and West again, I would be. Or maybe not, because then you would just get back into the imbalance of the East being so much better than the rest.
But isn't that two conferences basically in
yes,
one?
Yes, that's essentially what it would
be. That's the issue. Because then.
But it's about the bread.
But how do you develop the schedule, though, is what I'm getting at. Like, how can you ensure that we actually get good games off
of it? That's for the algorithm to figure out.
I'm at a place where don't touch it. Don't touch it. Just let it be what it is.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. Mm. Because unless you're cutting teams out, I wouldn't touch it.
Well, the two money-making sports are football and men's basketball, right? Are there any, Joshua brought up UNC, any team that's like kind of decent at both that you'd want to add, maybe from like the Big 12, like Iowa State or BYU? Would you consider those schools?
Feels geographically palatable. And I know that doesn't matter because we've got California and Washington and Oregon in here.
That means nothing anymore.
But there's a natural rivalry in there already. So that could make sense if you're just like, can we add somebody who is mid but won't drag
but
us
I don't,
down?
I don't think they football team because Matt Campbell's gone.
Yeah, we'll have to find out about that.
Who knows?
I'm mean, from a rival reason, don't touch nothing. Just let it, because y'all going to mess it up. Don't even touch it. Just let it be what it is. I hope that a Purdue and what's the other teams you say? Purdue, Rutgers, and them can find their Kirk Cignetti, and hopefully they can turn things around. That's where I'm at with that. I'm done with the whole expansion talk. We don't need to touch it.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The Big.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tybus, broadcasting from the intersection of stupidity.
I am so stupid.
And gluttony. The Fan. Get to know your resident national champion. It's time for Ask Tybus Anything.
Sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Reliable, local, built right. Request your free roof assessment today at ramosroofing.com.
All right, we're going to let Dylan point guard this thing. Dylan, what you got for us?
All right, first question comes from Alex the King in the YouTube chat. Ask the show anything. Did Joshua ever have to save you, Tyvus, from getting in a fight or vice versa?
Josh, I don't know if Josh remembers this, but I remember an incident that Joshua got in. When we were freshmen, Joshua made a mistake, and he about died one night by Marcus Hall.
Do you remember that? I would prefer not to.
I'm sure you don't
get into this.
Joshua almost got into a physical altercation with Marcus Hall.
I did.
He was young. He made a mistake.
We're past that.
I don't think he wants to go in on it anymore.
No, sir. Shout out to my guy Marcus Hall. Could have ended me.
That's one Buckeye wouldn't want to mess with Joshua. I don't know what you were thinking.
Yeah, we saw. He had a little bit of a fuse there.
That was an all-timer right there, Josh. He was hot.
He was heated.
And he had the right to be. I got it. I understood it.
I did too.
Can't go into detail about it, Dylan. I don't want to rehash that one out, but just know Josh made a mistake.
I played the fifth. Do you remember that day where I got into it with Fick at practice?
Yeah, when you hit Jeffy Johnson.
Yes.
And you smiled at him.
I did.
So, Josh is crazy.
My biggest pet peeve in life is when somebody tells me that I'm wrong when I'm right. I hate that. It's actually super bothersome because when you have kids, they love to tell you things that are wrong and then just like swear that you're the one who's wrong.
Oh, I'll argue with my 7-year-old, no problem.
I argued too with the 2-year-old. So anyway, so we're running this look. I think we're getting ready for Minnesota. We're running this look. I go, boom, whatever, tag off on the play. And Coach Fick's like, run it again. He's like, you're not in the right place. And so I'm huffing and puffing at this point, like I'm pissed. And so we run it again, and I smack Jeffy Johnson.
Yeah, you should have did him like that.
Bad. I was so mad.
Jeffy was a great scouting running back.
I was heated. And then I took my helmet off.
He was smiling at Coach Fick.
I went up to him smiling, and then I just walked. I walked away, and I took a knee. And Fick was like, I think I broke Joshua. I was heated.
I don't think I've ever been in a situation like that where I was like that upset.
I think you were a little bit harder to get to that point, but I think you were a little bit easier to get hyped up in general. But like I'm that guy where like I can go, and then like I hit that point and I'm just like,
but I'm with you because my issue was me and Coach Ash used to always clash because he always thought he was right, and I'm like, dude, I'm out here. I'm telling you that that's not going to work. So that's how him and I got into it all the time. But it was never to the point that you
were. He was so particular. I need you lined up 10 yards off the ball.
He wanted to be in the C-gap. He wanted to be robots.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Next question.
All right. This is a quick one from Phil J. He wants to know how you get a tree in the Buckeye Grove.
You got to be an All-American. On anything, like you got to be, I think you could be a first, second, or third team All American.
But it's got to be one of the major publications.
Yeah, I had no shot. No shot.
Chris G wants to know what you guys think about football players TikTok dancing before games.
Go ahead, Josh. What did you think of the dance party that used to happen with CJ and Dell?
I think I had a, when I was doing the rally, I had a clip that went viral because Awful Announcing picked it up. And in this whole tirade, part of it was TikTok dancing.
Yeah.
Anti.
Why? Why does that bother you?
I just feel like you, I'm for getting ready and like you can't be too uptight before a game.
Mm-hmm.
That to me feels so unserious.
I think, I hear what you're saying. But you would agree that everybody gets ready for games differently.
Right, but everybody getting ready for games differently means, like, some dudes are like myself. I was listening to R&B music. Nothing too hype before a game, right? Like, some dudes are in there, and they're reading, they're doing different stuff. It doesn't mean that, like, a whole position group likes to dance.
That's their thing.
Too many of them.
Stop it.
Doing too much.
I personally, it don't bother me. It's like, it is what it is.
You about that new age life, which by the way,
I understand the young guys.
I'm the youth of America right now. We got issues. We'll talk about it later. How about that for a tease?
I don't have an issue. Like I say, they get ready for games the best. As long as they perform it, well, I could care less.
The dancing doesn't matter until they lose.
Why is that the first thing that you think of?
Because it highlights
it's different,
like,
than what you did?
Because it feels like it's not locked in. And so if you if you win, nobody cares.
Joshua,
but if you lose, it's like, oh, man, these guys weren't even in warm-up series.
Joshua.
They weren't even ready from the time they stepped on the field. So dancing in warm-ups.
Do you remember the conversation in the locker room before the national championship game?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
We literally said, this does not feel like a national championship game. Alabama was the championship
game. Yeah, that was
true. We were not serious about
this.
We
were serious. We were serious that we were about to whip some ass.
Yeah, but we weren't like locked in.
I was locked in on the fact that those guys weren't as good as the guys we just played.
And what happened in the first drive?
Well, you know, it's the early part of the game. It's a feeling out process.
Whatever. We were not.
Did anybody dance?
We were not locked in.
Did anybody dance?
No, okay. That wasn't right. Our thing.
I'm just saying.
That wasn't our thing.
I'm an old guy. All right?
Get off my line, guy. What you got for us, Dylan? What's next?
Chris G also wants to know what would be the best boxing matchup here at 97.1 The Fan. He throws out DeVere versus Tyvus and Joshua versus Bobby. I'm telling you right now, DeVere and Tyvus are not in the same weight class. So that's not close.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're bigger than him. That's what it means.
I would cut weight. We would have to do it. Him and I would have to agree on a weight that's like in the middle.
How much do you think DeVere weighs?
DeVere got to be like 200. You don't think he 200?
200 on the dot.
Yeah, I was going to say like maybe 210 at the most.
We got to agree on like 225.
He is lean.
We got to go 225.
See, here's the issue like with fighting Bobby is if it's supposed to be boxing, he's going to want to grapple. He's going to want to turn into wrestling.
That's a fact.
Right? So like we're not even going to do combat on our feet. It's going to be on the floor somewhere, which I'd probably get ringworm mixing it up with him, so I'm not going to do that. But then it's going to get to a point where, like, if we got to go there, I'm biting him, right? Like, at that point, if we're on the ground,
Tyson,
wrestling around, we did this during mat drills. I bit Stuart Smith.
You bit Stu?
I did, because I was getting my butt whooped. I was a freshman, and everybody's like...
What drill?
The towel.
Where you both got the hand on the towel, you gotta let it go. Yeah.
I was getting whooped, mixed in my face. He's like, you're soft. Schlegs in my face. He's like, you're not tough enough to be here. Everybody's cooking me. And so the next rep I go, I just bite him, and he let go of the thing, and I won. Right? I'm doing that to Bob. I'm not fighting fair anymore.
You didn't understand the technique then.
No, I didn't.
It was the initial turn.
Yeah, I figured that out.
The hardest one was when you had to twist the dummy.
The bone dummy.
Yeah, that one was the hardest one.
Well, I ended up biting dudes because I was tired of losing.
You know what? I'm here for it. That means that you're willing to do whatever it takes to win. That's why you are a national champion. I like it. I wouldn't have did my own teammate like that, but really? Then again, you did smack Jeffy too. You just don't even care about. Here you is preaching to me about how I'm not a team guy.
I am a team guy.
You up there doing damage to your own teammates.
Well, both of them are fine.
Well, is Stu a doctor?
Yeah.
What's Jeffy doing?
I don't know. He's fine.
Yeah, well, there you go.
One more from you guys, because I kind of want to know the answer to this, too. This is also from Phil. He said, ask the boys what their pre- and post-game meals consisted of.
You go first.
My pre-game meal, when I was at Ohio State, I always had some beans and pasta. That was like my...
Beans?
Go-to. Yeah. They used to have them green beans.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a...
You
want farts?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
like
no.
I thought you were talking about like a black
green,
beans
green
from
beans.
Like the Nancy Mason video.
Green beans.
From the barbecue
and
spot.
And I would get like... I think it was like some type of spaghetti type pasta, and then I get like a piece of baked chicken on it.
Okay.
And the green beans was because my grandmother was like, yeah, I gotta have some beans. So every time, ever since she said that, I started putting beans on my plate.
What was your post game?
Didn't they give us something for post game?
Yeah, on the way
like
out.
Pizza or something.
Was all you ate?
Yeah, I'm not. Hello, I'm not a big eater.
According to you.
I'm not going to address that right now. All right, so I would do two of the fillets. They had the steaks.
Yeah.
So I get a couple of those, a chicken tender or two. And then I would have mashed potatoes and broccoli, and I would put a whole bunch of gravy on that part of the plate. That was what I would eat the night before. Day of the game, I was very much like you. A little bit of pasta, a little bit of chicken breast, but I was an anxious player, so
I kind of had the same thing.
I couldn't eat too much.
Did you eat the Uncrustable or orange
peel?
I'm
allergic.
Oh, did you eat the orange peel at halftime?
No, but I would eat
Pop-Tart,
Goldfish, and Rice Krispie Treats.
Okay.
Those are my two in-game. And then post-game, typically,
see, I ate nothing.
We would go to Cap City Diner if it was early enough, and I'd get a burger.
Must be nice. Big money.
Most overrated spot in the city.
Mom and Dad. Not big money.
I guess so.
Big voice guy. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. This is the best of T-Bone and Tybus. The second best way to wake up. The best way is someone yanking on your...
The best of T-Bone and Tybus on The Fan.
Well, you're supposed to be listening to T-Bone and Tyvis. T-Bone is in New York with Fishy. Tyvis is doing television. So this is actually the Joshua Perry Show featuring producer Dylan.
Yeah, that's Tyvis's true passion is TV.
Yeah, and he tries to say he's not a member of the media. Like, he is
full blown
big media.
Yeah, especially now that he's one chairing it today.
I know. Look at him.
Did you hear after the spring game? Did you watch him do color commentary for the spring game?
So I was down in Kentucky at a horse race. So I had my phone on with the YouTube TV. I was definitely checking Tyvis out.
You see, when he came back, he said, "I got my passion back."
Oh, I heard.
Basically, just telling
I've
me
got
and
my
T-Bone,
passion back.
Yeah, telling us
for the
to
business.
Our face that What's he wrong? Hates us.
God, yeah, this radio thing has been a drag on my life. But getting in that booth, oh man, I'm back.
We're just
better than ever.
How much you love TV and hate doing radio?
That's not true. Listen,
that's what you made it sound like.
That's
I remember distinctly listening
that's
to that.
Not
I felt
what I
so
said.
Bad for these guys.
That's not
man.
What I said. What I said was, it got me closer to the game. The closer you get to being on the field, like especially something that you've done your entire life, it was the closest I've been to being on the field. Of course, I loved it. What's wrong with you two?
He got his passion back.
Oh my
goodness. Have you done sideline reporting yet?
And I have.
That's what you need to be doing. Apparently,
no, that's not as fun.
You're on the field. You're literally on
but
the field.
But he doesn't get into the X's and O's. He can't give you the Y's.
Yeah, gotcha. Like, you just the guy that just, hey, we need an interview.
Yeah,
Go talk to that guy.
Number 37 busted his knee up.
Yeah, tell us about that. When is
he
coming
went in the
back?
Locker room. He ain't coming back.
Like, that's not as fun.
I don't know. During that spring game, it really sounded like you were rooting for a 3-0 game. You just love defense that much.
Joshua, do you not love defense?
It's phenomenal.
Thank you.
I think so. I talked about this.
We're talking to two defensive players here. What are you talking about?
I talked about this during my residency here when you were out on paternity leave. But I feel like we don't have enough defensive voices in the booth or on sets for football.
J.J. Watt.
Mostly it's quarterbacks. And they're always,
Jonathan Vilma.
They're always talking about how guys are spinning the rock. Whatever. We need dudes that can tell you exactly what the defense did that made the quarterback look like a kid.
I actually agree with you. But the problem is everybody wants to hear from a quarterback's perspective.
I don't want
to
hear from them.
A lot of people.
Them boys weren't in the weight room.
The quarterback. You know, because
they weren't in the trenches. They don't know.
It's partially everybody our fault because everybody talks about how important the quarterback position is. So, okay, if that's the case and this guy was really good as a quarterback, what was his mind? And people are intrigued by seeing the game.
You know
how
what quarterback
saw.
I want Sam Darnold in the booth.
But he's got other obligations right now.
No, but I'm saying
don't rush him to the booth.
Give me that guy. Screw, no, you know who we screw want. Tom Brady. I don't want to hear from the greatest ever. I don't want to hear from the greats of the game.
Why not?
I want to hear from dudes that had to get it a little bit differently.
You don't want to hear JJ McCarthy?
Well,
he had to get it.
I don't
want to
hear from the bads of the game either.
Oh, man, we're going to talk about him in probably the next segment where we get to Diana Rossini. But Joshua, were you ever an All-American? Were you ever a preseason All-American?
Tyvus, come on, man.
Were you ain't never was on the watch list?
I was a hard hat and lunch pail kind of guy. None of that stuff was for me.
Wait a minute. I feel like I might at least made like a preseason
defensive
win.
MVP of the national championship.
That had nothing to do with it. I was overshadowed. I had another guy that was next to me that was all American.
I had a few guys overshadowing me.
All right. Well, this year they came out with Walter Camp Football Foundation came out with their preseason All Americans. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith, Austin Saraville. And Julian Sang are second team, but the other two were first team. To me, this was the one thing about my career at Ohio State that I feel like I failed at. Like, so before I came to college, I had a checklist of things.
A vision board.
Yeah, pretty much of all the things that I wanted to accomplish.
Put it on Pinterest.
The one thing that I walked away, I think I checked everything off. The one thing I didn't get was the tree in the Buckeye Grove.
What was the rest of the list?
I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to be a captain. I wanted to win a natty. The MVP was never a thing. And I wanted to get drafted. Well, I didn't check that off either, but
so
that's a whole other story.
I think you and I had very similar visions.
And I wanted to graduate.
Yeah. And I wasn't MVP of a national championship.
Well,
I don't have a tree either, but I feel like we both did pretty well.
Yeah, well, at least you got drafted. You know, what was that like to hear your name called?
I was pissed because I thought I was going to be a day two pick, and so that extra sleep without hearing my name.
Were you a fourth?
Yeah, I was.
When it went early, so
but that's when you start clenching a little bit.
Oh, really?
When the day three starts?
Oh, really? Yeah. Let me tell you when I start clenching. Round seven. Round seven is when I start like, wow, this really about to happen. Then the sick part is, like, I got teams like calling.
No,
me.
Phone blowing up.
Like, I'm talking like round five.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first thing that called me was the Seahawks.
they were like, hey, buddy. He ain't getting drafted.
No, they didn't say that. They didn't say that. And then the funniest one was this. It ended before like free agency period began. The last person to call or text me was Kerry Combs.
Oh, really?
And he goes, what do you think of the Cincinnati Bengals? I said, I love Cincinnati. I go to Cincinnati. Ain't got no problem with that at this point. He goes, well, stay by the phone. I'm gonna try. He was like,
wasn't his son?
Yeah, his son was there. I was like, he was like, yeah, why don't you, would you go there as an undrafted guy? And I'm like, y'all got another pick? You can steal that? What are you talking about?
He's like, no. That pick is accounted for. Okay? We're not discussing that. That is not up for discussion. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you just in case.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there like, you got another pick. You can sure use it on me.
Kerry Combs. Yeah, love the guy.
Yeah, well, he's people look at him as a traitor now. So,
well.
Yeah.
They can, which is fine. I love them.
Also, back to this preseason. Preseason doesn't mean anything because, like, it's a lot of people with expectation. Obviously, we expect Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sang to be some part of a All-American team, whether that's first, second, or third team, because of where they are. It's always guys that come out of nowhere. The one guy that I feel like is getting disrespected a lot is Bo Jackson. Like, they did the top like running backs that's returning. He's nowhere to be found, and I don't understand it.
It's hard. I feel like when you're evaluating running backs, the hard part is trying to figure out, like...
But he does everything, doesn't he?
I'm not saying that he doesn't do everything, but what do you value? And does that come down to, like, a system where a guy is really high volume and you feel his impact that way? Does that come down to a guy who's big explosive plays? You like guy who catch the football? Whatever the case is. And the point that I'm trying to get to... I think people look at running backs and they just say right off the bat, those guys are all a dime a dozen. You got one running back, you got most of them. There are a few special ones, and the rest of them, you could just kind of slot them in from the number five running back down to the number 35 running back. They're all the same guy. That's how people feel.
So
do you think he's a top five running back in college football? That's what I'm getting at.
Wait a minute.
That's what I'm getting at.
I don't know if he's necessarily top five. I said he can at least be top 10.
I think he is. I think he's a phenomenal player.
If this offensive line is better,
10 and 25 might be the same guy to a lot of people evaluating.
Do you think that because he's got to split carries with Isaiah West and potentially Legend Bay, do you think that's why?
Maybe
his numbers won't be as impactful.
Watching him, I think, is a strange experience, because you see him hit the edge, and to me at least, I'm like, man, a guy's got an angle on him. And then he outruns the angle, but he
actually disappointed me a lot, because he got caught a couple of times.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. He's missing that top gear sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that extra little burst.
Well, they say Legend Bay is supposed to be that deal. Well, so if he ever break, and I thought Isaiah West, when he came in, I thought he did a really good job. I think he needs just a little bit more wiggle to him.
Sure.
But he does a really good job of hitting that open field and also, you know, making those long explosive plays. But yeah,
The idea of having guys to roll through, though.
You like having different running backs like that?
Yes.
They've been doing it for.
And I think it's the best approach.
6 years.
So let's look at Trey. Trey was always hurt.
Yeah.
And now you end up splitting carries between him and another really good back. Both of them are available to have big plays late in the year.
But it now is three of them.
Which is, I think, fine.
So, but that always is going to impact their All-American
status.
Which
is okay. Are you in it for All-Americans or are you in it for wins, Tyvus?
I'm in it for the greatest. Don't you, when you come to Ohio State, don't you want to be the greatest to ever do it?
I want to be the greatest teammate.
Did you not want to be Chris Spielman as the best linebacker?
I want to be the greatest teammate to ever do it.
Are you Tom Brady?
So if that meant that I wasn't the greatest ever as an individual, that's okay. Perfectly fine.
Okay.
We achieved the ultimate team glory.
Good for you.
That was what we did.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. When the best of T-Bone and Tyvus, they're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan. The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here. Welcome to The Huddle.
Sponsored by Advent. Go to AdventKnows.com, because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
All right, Dylan, what do you got for us on The Huddle?
All right, I feel like all three of us have been very interested in this Brandon Ayuk situation, and it was reported that the Commanders have little to no interest in signing him after he went online and, you know, had that video where he said, go Commanders, and this whole offseason he's just at odds with the 49ers, who he's technically still under contract with. So what do you see happening in this Brandon Ayuk situation?
So yesterday, I'm sitting there and I'm playing Call of Duty. I'm playing with Sherm and Darius Slay.
Name drop flex.
Whatever.
Good job.
And we was actually talking about this situation, and we was talking about the Terrion Arnold situation as well. And it's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen somebody like tank their own career like
sure.
This. Like, it makes no sense. And the thing about it is, I still don't know why he's doing it. Like, he never gave a real reason to why he feels the way he's feeling, why he's doing the things that he's doing.
It's that radioactive field up there.
Whatever. I was there for 2 years. I mean,
case study like right here.
Stop it. So, to me, this is like, I never want to say, like, this is what you get, but, like,
I mean,
that's kind of what this situation is. Like,
I'm also
like, because the thing is, so I was talking to Sherm about it, and Sherm feels that it stems from him not getting the targets that he was supposed to get in the Super Bowl. He felt like he was wide open, and because he wasn't seen as the number one option, they didn't get him the ball. And Sherm said, if you go back and watch the tape, it's fair to say that. But the thing is, he was mad at the organization, but he decided they wanted to trade him. Remember, like, a couple years ago, they were like, we're going to trade you to Pittsburgh. He said no, and he signed the deal. And once you sign the deal, all that other stuff is over. It's water under the bridge. If you truly felt the way you felt, you should have just took the trade. So, for me, I don't understand. I need him to come out and tell me exactly why he's doing this, because it makes no sense. They paid you. All they wanted you to do was rehab.
Come in the building.
Come in the building, rehab. You didn't want to do that. And nobody's seen you. Nobody's seen you. So, like, nobody even know if you can play the game anymore. Like, what's the, why would fans be mad at the 49ers?
All right. So, to take that a step forward, why should we care at this point? He's doing things that reflect a guy who doesn't take his own career seriously. I don't have the brain calories and the energy to take him seriously. So I prefer not to talk about it.
It's a shame that he did all this Go Commanders, and now
that's really sad.
It's pathetic, actually. It's unfortunate.
Before we get to the next huddle question, so you know I've been recently retired from gaming, and you talk about gaming with Sherm. GTA 6 is probably going to bring me out of retirement. Can you get me in a party with Sherm to play GTA 6?
I don't even know if he played GTA.
You should ask him if he plays GTA.
You know, next
just
time.
So I can say I played GTA with Richard Sherman.
I can do that.
Did y'all grow up on the game?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You didn't?
No.
I kept a PlayStation. We're
a non-gaming household.
Oh no, we kept a PlayStation.
We had books. No games.
We had books too. You know, I never did the summer reading.
You know, me neither.
You know, miss me, like, with that. You got to read this book and then have an essay on it when you come first day of class. Yeah. I never read the book.
Tyvus, you know my mom.
I do.
She used to make us, for 2 hours a day during the summer, sit our ass down and read a book. Every day during the summer. Well,
and look at you now. You love to read a book.
I do. I really do enjoy books.
I'm an audio book guy.
I like to read them. I have a physical hard copy if I can get it.
I read it.
No, you didn't. You listened to it.
I've probably read under 5 books for leisure in my lifetime.
So it's an interesting thing
my over under is 0.5.
It's an interesting thing because there are stats that are coming out now where it's like more American males have placed wagers on sports than have read a book in the past year.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of money spent there.
Does audiobooks count?
No.
Okay.
And the other part about that, not to make everybody's morning stink, we got a literacy crisis. The kids can't read. The kids, right? They can't read right now. We are struggling with literacy. The kids can't read, but they can get on DraftKings. They can get on FanDuel.
They shouldn't.
They are.
Don't you got to be 21 to play
some? Well, Brendan Sorsby wasn't, and I know a lot of other people
were. You know what? Everybody overlooks that part of the whole thing.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of Brendan Sorsby, huddle question number 2.
Yes, a memo was sent to yesterday to all the NFL teams saying that the NFLPA and Brendan Sorsby will not be pursuing any further litigation and that he will be draft eligible for the 2027 NFL draft. So what do you guys think about this latest in the Brendan Sorsby saga?
I think that the NFL got away with something.
I think the NFL
they got away, because if he would have went ahead and sued, he would have won.
I think the NFL told him, you can sue and we'll drag this thing out and I will bankrupt you. That little NIL don't match what we got over here.
That's true.
So you can,
but he would have won.
You can take your medicine.
He would have won
and play in a year, or we can get down and dirty. It's your choice.
I think that this is what the situation was. You can go through with the suing, and you probably will win, but we will suspend you. Because Terrell Pryor got suspended. Jim Trezor got suspended. You will get suspended.
I think they told him, we'll just bankrupt you.
Whatever.
We're going to bankrupt you with so many costs.
We're going to bankrupt that whatever little bitty contract you get
ain't even going to be able to cover it.
They're going
to
do both. They're going to bankrupt them and suspend them. So he's really going to be had no money.
I think he was just ready to take his medicine.
You can just sit out.
Yep.
And when you get drafted or whatever next year, you're free to go. I think that was the deal.
Yeah, I mean, if Tom Brady didn't want to get into it with the NFL any further because he was worried about his bank account and paying for lawyers, I'm sure Brandon Sorsby would be in an even worse position.
I agree.
We're going to suspend you for a year, so let's just call this your suspension.
Also, I keep seeing, like you said, that you know TP got suspended, Trestle got suspended, but you know who didn't get suspended?
Josh Gordon.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, well.
He had stuff lurking with the NCAA and he didn't get suspended, but I think you guys are right, and it's like it was a neutral position for both sides. It was like you would probably win, but then you would be,
we gonna suspend you.
You would be broke and suspended.
Correct.
And so this was like a nice happy medium.
All right, we'll head to question number three.
We're gonna play the Diana Rossini audio from. So she told this story on a podcast about her getting pulled over and basically name dropping. All these podcasts are getting her in trouble. But I guess they finally released the body cam, basically confirming the story that she told. So here's the audio from the body cam of that traffic stop.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately. Let's see it.
Can you see the name?
Oh my God.
Can you see?
See what I said? Look what I said to him though, just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my God. Wow. Pretty cool.
Dude, I love the Vikings. They're awesome. KSU's awesome.
Yeah. He seemed like a
good
dude.
Your quarterback sucks though.
Yeah. So he's got to get it. He's got to fix it.
What's the bigger story here? Her using her conversation with an NFL head coach to get out of a traffic ticket, or her just straight up saying that J.J. McCarthy sucks?
I think it's
definitely the J.J. part.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is. But the funny, I don't know what the rules is for like police officers.
Right.
Like, is he allowed to do this?
Well, that's straight up bribery.
That's what I was saying. Is it bribery? Or is
I guess it's in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it feels like more of like an inducement than a bribe. but my issue with that is like, so if she said, like, I tried to FaceTime, but if you're texting a coach like, hey, I need some help, can you know whatever, say hi to this guy, right? And they do it. Do you report more favorably about that coach because they got you out of a ticket?
Absolutely.
And then the flip side is, if they say, nah, I'm good, are you railing negative that coach now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why this is a story. Like, as a reporter, there are responsibilities that you should have. She didn't uphold not a single one of them damn responsibilities, to be clear. Okay, but that's part of the thing here for me is like, come on, man.
But it makes me wonder, if she was doing this for all these years, who else is doing it?
There's probably a good amount of them in there.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
The other part that was wild too is that body cam footage was blurred out. Her cell phone was, and one of these reporters on Twitter asked the police department if they could unblur it so they could try to see what was on the phone, and they unblurred it for him, but you couldn't read it because the phone, you know, so gritty. The body cam. But yeah, I mean, like, these people are on our ass right now.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The rings, the most.
The gambling degenerates, Dee Biddle and Scotty Vegas for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. This is the best of T-Bone and Tybus. Yes, this is pre-recorded, but Tybus is so dedicated, he's still here running the board. The Fan.
The list today, best players under the Urban Meyer era at Ohio State. This is going to be good. Continue to get in the YouTube chat. Oh, I'm seeing some names in that YouTube chat. Some people that I kind of forgot. Oh, hold on. I got to write it down because I forgot that name right there. I'd be disrespectful if I didn't say that name.
Before we get into it, when we were discussing doing this, Tyvus asked multiple times, are we doing just at Ohio State, which makes me think he wanted to praise Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin definitely would have been. Actually, he wouldn't have been my number one, though. It actually would have been Cam Newton.
Hmm. Does that really count, though?
Yeah. Does Joe Burrow count?
I wouldn't count him. I just wouldn't count him.
Did Cam Newton take a snap at Florida?
I don't think he did.
Then it don't count. Percy Harvin is the answer. All right, Josh, you want to start it off?
Yeah.
We ain't got a list five. Just
I don't know where I want to go. Like if I had mean, to,
you know, the layup is Joey.
The layup is Joey. Let me go with the non-layup though.
Okay.
I feel like the JT Barrett impact was elite.
I just watched a video on Instagram yesterday and they was like showing how JT was this unbelievable leader and all of this stuff. And then I looked at the comment section and he was like, people in the comments is like, they love JT for who he was and all the things he did, but they were convinced that if he was the quarterback during that run, we wouldn't have beat Alabama and stuff like that. They said that his arm had limitations.
World will never know.
And I just think that's crazy. Because like we was rolling with JT. Like, so I don't.
He was.
And then on top of that, even the next year when him and Cardale, you know, Cardale beat him out for the starting job, when they would go to JT, that offense was a little bit better.
He had that it factor. This is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, he's a gritty player. A gritty quarterback also is something I really respect. And I feel like we see it at the NFL level. The guys who typically have the most success, like they just have a little bit of extra grit compared to other quarterbacks. So I love that about him.
Baker Mayfield got a lot of grit.
He's got some grit. That's how he's
Dylan's boy.
He turned things around. All right. I'm going to fly by that one. But it was the grit. It was the leadership. He could get you. Look, if you needed 2 yards, he was going to get you 3 or 4. And I appreciate that a ton.
Jim Harbaugh wants to disagree with you.
Well,
yeah,
whatever. You sit up there and whine in press conferences all you want to. The one thing that I used to love, you and I'd be sitting there, punt team ready. Yeah, get your helmet on. You stand on the sidelines. And then they call, you know, cue power or whatever. And, you know, it's a first down. You go sit your ass back down on the bench. That was phenomenal. Like, that's the kind
first
of stuff
all,
for me
first
that
of all,
I love.
I hated the fact that we would get a stop and literally 2 plays would go by and they say,
punt.
Do you know how annoying that is? Just sat down because, you know, when you come off the sideline, the coach got to do the adjustments.
The sweat off of my brow.
I just sat down. Punt yes. too. It was a sign of relief when they got the first down. I will say that.
You said the layup is Joey Bosa. Is the layup on the other side of the ball Zeke?
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
That postseason stretch for Zeke is, I don't think in the history of the sport it's talked about enough what he did.
Zeke had like 200 yards every game.
He did.
That's ridiculous.
Boy, one of the games he had like 15 yards a carry.
I went back and looked at the national championship game, and I was just like, yeah, this dude was different.
He is.
Because what people fail to realize, and I love to point this out, that you know the offense turned the ball over 4 times in that game?
Yeah.
It didn't matter. If you turn the ball over 4 times in a game, you lose that game 98% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It did not matter at all. So, yeah, Zeke absolutely is the layup on offense. Another guy on offense who I feel like don't get enough praise was actually Devin Smith, the best gunner in America.
Okay.
Why did he do that?
Why did he do that? This is Urban.
This was a fourth down. It was late in the game. It didn't matter.
Why did he do that?
They didn't touch his jersey. Why did he do that? wish y'all could have been at me. It was like all the time. Why did he do that? And I still want to know to this day, why did Devin do that?
What a guy. He was phenomenal, though. His ability to get behind coverage.
He's the best deep ball
receiver. It was ridiculous.
I've ever really been around. I mean, I didn't realize until somebody like brought it up. Like, you know, he never caught a pass, like an inward breaking pass. All his catches was go balls, essentially.
You got to play to your strength.
That's ridiculous. Like, you should, as a corner, you should know that. Like,
yeah, but then you got to stop it.
I'm bailing on the snap, and I'm not stopping running because he's dying. If he runs something short, who cares?
You know, he's a legit track guy.
Like, yeah, I know. I think he tried to run here at Ohio State.
He did, and they were like, you can't miss a workout
at the
Woody.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I don't know if I could do two.
Yeah. Another guy, Ryan Shazier.
Yes.
That's a name that I almost forgot until I seen somebody in the chat. Shout out to Connor in the chat.
I low-key hated Ryan.
Forgot about it.
I low-key hated him.
You hated Ryan?
Yes.
Why?
Because he would do stuff, and then we'd be in the meeting room, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, this is how you should do it. I'm not him. This dude runs a 4.37 at linebacker. And he had some pop to him, too. He would really hit people. I'm not that guy. So you can't tell me, oh, you should try. I'm not trying that.
Do you feel like you are out of place?
What do you mean by that?
Like, when you play.
What do you mean by that?
When you was at Ohio State, do you feel like you should have been more of an outside stand-up edge rusher?
That wasn't our system, though.
Josh, when Joey Bosa got suspended in the Virginia Tech game, we put the package in.
Right, but that, I mean.
Did we run that in the game? Do you remember?
Yeah.
We did run that?
I think for like a snap or two, it wasn't anything significant. But
do you think if we would have done that?
So
technically, you know who messed up the whole system? Noah Spence.
Yeah, buddy.
He messed up everything. Because if he never got kicked out, him and Joey, they probably would have had to do something where, because he's not a put your hand in the dirt. He was more of a stand-up guy.
No, it's that was the thing, though, because we were running a 4.3, so it would have been some hand in the dirt, and I don't think I was there yet. My biggest regret as a football player is not being an edge.
You think you should have been an edge?
The game had passed me by. There were, when you wanted to put your hand in the dirt? When we were coming into the league in 2016, how many 6'4", 255-pound linebackers were there?
It was
KJ?
No, they were still.
No, they weren't.
We were on the verge.
No, they weren't.
At that point, we were on the verge of going back to the smaller athletic linebacker.
Ryan Shazier went a year or two or whatever it was before.
He went 2013.
Okay. And then Darren Lee was the first round linebacker.
Yes.
As a smaller dude.
Yep.
And then it kept going into that like 6'2", 225 linebacker, not 6'4", 250. So the game had passed me by. I should have had my hand in the dirt, period.
I feel like I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. I would have to go back and look at like those draft classes. I mean, obviously you would know better than me because you played the position, but I just feel like that transition didn't truly happen until like a couple of years later.
I'm telling you that it happened. Okay. Like this is really not up for debate.
Okay. Anyways, to finish my list, some other names, Chase Young, Braxton Miller, Malik Hooker, Marshawn Lattimore, Denzel Ward, Jeff Okuda in college was like one of the best corners. So it was, Urban had some good years. I didn't put you, Josh. I'm sorry.
I made the argument yesterday when we were preparing for the segment for Tyvus to be in there.
No.
There is only one defensive MVP of a national championship game in the Urban era.
No.
So I think Tyvus deserves to be thrown into the mix here.
No. I always had that call for the rest of my life.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets Hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Joint pain is awful.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
It's the best of T-Bone and Tyvus. I know what you're thinking. This is so good you can't believe it's pre-recorded. But it is. So if a comment hits and we don't respond, that's why. The Fan.
As I'm sitting there last night, I had a podcast I had to record. When I get done with the podcast, I have a text message from our buddy Fishy. Old Fish. He sends me a picture of a slice of New York pizza. And you know what I said when I saw that?
What'd you say?
Looks just like every other slice of pizza I've ever had in my life.
No, that's just dumb.
That is just dumb. It looks similar. Like, what's the difference? What's the difference between that and like Sbarro? It's a big slice of pizza. That's what I thought when I saw it.
It's so when you put it in your mouth, that's the difference.
Whoa! Wow. All right, you're not going to do this. It's too early. So
there's an actual thing that people talk about with the bagels and the pizza.
Yes. Oh, that's what, you know what?
Factual.
By the way, T-Bone is joining us next segment, correct?
Yes.
All right, we're going
to. T-Bonius.
He's supposed to have had bagels yesterday, and they're supposed to be unbelievable in New York. We're going to talk about that, but go ahead.
You want to know why they say it's unbelievable? Is because of the water. They say the water there actually affects the bagels and the pizza. It creates the chew.
Is it so they got
that little bit of chew that you get when you bite into it? It's because of the water, allegedly.
I heard the same thing, and I'm a born New Yorker. I lived there until I was 9 years old, and I was told the same legend.
Yep.
That it's about the water.
There ain't no difference between that and Panera. You can go right to Panera and get you a bagel.
Let's have this conversation. Private equity has ruined everything. Because Panera, when I was a kid, you go in there, you get your little scone, you get your sandwich, and it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You go there now, it's hell.
Really?
Yeah, don't
terrible.
Go.
Why?
Private equity. Ruins everything.
What do you mean? Like, what changed? The quality of the food?
Yes. What they do is they try to extract every bit of value they can out of any business that they buy. So they cut. And at a certain point, the cutting gets to the actual product that you're consuming.
It's almost like drug related. Go ahead.
Yes. They learn from the cartels. They are a cartel. Yes. And so now you go in there, they got completely different. The danishes look different. The scones look different. And they all taste terrible.
The reason why I don't go to Panera is because I'm not trying to spend $20 and still be hungry.
Now, that's why I don't go right there. Because the prices of it has been unbelievable. All right, let's get into this story. Do you believe in nepotism?
Yes.
Would you why are you saying like that?
Because
would you consider, first of all, let me lay the scene. Jet Harrison, the younger brother of Marvin Harrison Jr., committed to Ohio State. 5-star guy. I think he's arguably the number one wide receiver in his class. All of those things. Do you think that
are you saying he's a nepo baby receiver?
Yeah. I'm in the Lucky Sperm Club.
Yeah.
The Lucky Sperm Club is hilarious.
Yeah.
I haven't watched him, just to be honest, there. So I can't speak to his game.
Now, he is the number one. I think some people have him as the number one ranked wide receiver.
They do.
Yeah, but Arch was the number one ranked quarterback, and people were saying that if you make his name Smith, is he the number one quarterback?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go as far as to say he's a nepo receiver. Okay. I'll watch and see and figure out where I think he belongs, but it's a little bit of a stretch for me right now to be like nepo receiver.
Do you think will you find it interesting if he is better than Marvin? Because for the simple fact that they both have two different wide receiver coaches at Ohio State.
Marv, my whole thing with him for all of his greatness was that he is not an elite separator.
You don't think?
Did he ever really run away from people?
He was like the offense.
But I'm saying like a lot of his best plays.
No, he ran some drag routes.
Were contested circus catches. That was his number one skill.
Okay.
Was his ability to catch in traffic, combat, his body control.
His body control was unbelievable.
All that. But from the standpoint of just routing a guy, which by the way, he did to old boy from Michigan, routed him bad. So I'm not saying he didn't do it, but from that was one thing that I felt like could always take another step was his ability to just create separation on routes. Mm-hmm. If Jet can do that, I think it's a different type of player, period. Now, I'm not saying it's a better player, but it's a different player.
It's interesting that they are able to continuously get these wide receivers, although Brian Hartline is gone. And Brian Hartline has produced tons of NFL first round picks, you know. And granted, I was looking at a thing earlier today, I wish I had it up, where they were saying like Ohio State has gotten 9 out of 10. They got like 9 5-stars in the past 10 years. So like all the top receivers are still committing to Ohio State. Obviously, a lot of that had to do with Brian Hartline, but now that he's gone, you would think that maybe it could dip a little bit.
So,
but it didn't.
Here's the thing that I would say, though. When Zach Smith was here, the recruiting wasn't necessarily the same, but they
we was running the ball more,
but also were developing NFL wide receivers too. Like some of the guys from the early Brian Hartline days were Zach's recruits. That were already
you're talking about Johnny Dixon, Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin.
Very good players. Very going to the NFL, right? Like that was always there. The foundation had always been set. Hartline took that to a completely different level. But I think people still understand that the foundation's there. Ryan Day's offense, the way that it's constructed, is always going to have great quarterback play.
Yeah.
And it's going to feature wide receivers. So I think recruits are still very comfortable, regardless of who their position coach is. They're comfortable in the fact that Ohio State's offense is still going to be very friendly to wide receivers.
I don't know about that, though.
You don't know?
Isn't Arthur Smith's whole thing about running the ball and having these different sets?
Who is the head coach?
you told me yesterday.
I think they're going to run it more.
I just told you yesterday.
But that doesn't mean they're only going to run the ball.
Josh.
This helps them.
Josh,
this helps the wide receivers.
Wait a minute.
Because now as a safety.
You about to make
you
me
as
mad.
A safety.
First of all,
you got to start creeping up toward the line of scrimmage.
First of all, did you watch last year on offense?
I did.
Did you watch when we got down to the red zone? What happened?
Yeah, it was. Where are you going with this?
They was taking receivers off the field for tight ends.
I don't think they'll make the same mistake. I think
Arthur Smith loves tight ends. Arthur Smith is like the greatest player in the world to him.
Which is fine. I think Ryan Day is going to be like, we need to be able to do more of the run the ball in the field thing. When we get down into the short part of the field, I don't want you to take my best players off the field. Whatever that looks like this year. I think he would have to learn from that regardless of who has the play sheet. Do you agree or disagree?
I would hope you only make that mistake once.
All right, then.
I mean,
I think we're pretty much on the same page. I think you can run the ball more and become a better running team while also saying we can take the top off of the defense.
Well,
you as a safety, when teams are running, Mister, what's going on with the run fits over here? When teams are running the ball, your mentality changes a little bit. Now you might get caught flat-footed.
Depends on what my depends on my responsibility.
You just like to argue for the sake of argument.
It depends on my responsibility. First of all, when I was playing safety here, we were taught our first reads is flat feet reads.
Right.
We bounce for 3 steps.
Well, you're going to be bounce. If they're running it, you go that little bounce is going
to
be a little.
If I had the middle of the field, if I had the post, like I would just roll to the post. I wouldn't even care if they were running. I would hit the post first, then come back up and try to make a tackle on the run.
And I think if you got Bo Jackson hitting you for 7-8 yards a carry, you might not be so
liberal. We shouldn't be calling cover one. We need to be calling a different thing on defense.
Call the cover one because you got the box advantage.
No, because I don't want to be the one rolling to the post. I'd rather be the one that's like flat foot and checking the tight end and I can just go.
All right. Anyway, regardless.
Last thing, we got a couple minutes. So Ohio State right now is considered wide receiver U. Which position group you think earns the U next?
Linebacker U.
You think so?
Why not?
Okay.
They've recruited really well. They had two first rounders this past. I mean, it feels like there's some momentum
but
to
what's
get there.
Okay. What's the biggest concern on defense right now?
I think youth generally, inexperience generally.
What position group?
You can say it's the linebackers.
Okay.
But I think if James Laurinaitis is as good of a coach as we both think that he is, and a lot of people are like, this could be the next Hartline.
Yeah. A lot of people think that he's going to go from linebacker coach to potentially a DC to even maybe a head coach.
You never know. But I think he's recruited well. I trust that he can develop. I think one of his best traits as a coach is he is as smart as any coach out there, but knows how to talk to players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just feels like that could be the next thing that really pops off.
I got two positions. I think it could be, obviously, it could be DBU. Caleb Downs started.
Sure.
He was a first-round pick last year, so you got that going. You got Jermaine Matthews. I'm very high on Devin Sanchez this season. But a sneaky horse? Running backs.
Ooh, RBU.
I believe they can possibly do it. With the addition of Arthur Smith, I think Coach Locke does a great job of, it doesn't matter if you're a 3-star, 5-star, 4, it doesn't matter. He gets the best out of his running backs, and they play with passion. And I just think that they've been producing these last couple. I know last year was a little up and down with the run game and all those things. It was a lot of different schemes and stuff. But I do believe from players, just listening to players talk about him and the way he challenges his players, like he wants them guys to be great, and they respond really well to him.
So I think Arby's, the restaurant, should do an NIL deal with the best running backs, the Arby's. You feel me? Thank you.
Don't give him no dingo, Dan. Are you crazy?
Thank you.
No, first of all, I don't know too many people that eat at Arby's.
You don't like the curly fry?
It's overrated.
Oh, okay.
It's a little overrated.
Break.
It's overrated.
Break.
I'm just saying.
Break. Listen, all right.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tybus, broadcasting from the intersection of stupidity.
I am so stupid.
And gluttony. The Fan.
Joining the program via the Bryan Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, it is the guy who sits in the one chair regularly on T-Bone and Tybus, Jonathan Smith, a.k.a. T-Bone. Hey, buddy, how's New York?
It's good. I am staring at a bunch of buildings right now, looking out of my hotel room. I'm on like the 17th floor of a random hotel in Midtown Manhattan. And after I get done talking to you, I'm going to get a bacon, egg, and cheese, a BEC.
Salt, pepper, ketchup?
Yeah, you know it. That's exactly right, JP. And by the way, Arby's fries are overrated. I leave for 2 days, and I got to hear hot takes like that. What are you talking about, Tybus?
First of all, Jonathan, listen.
Unless I popped out of your womb, or you took me to basketball practice as a kid, no one calls me Jonathan. Everybody calls me T-Bone, Tybus.
Listen,
I'm going to call you Chancey. How about that?
You know what? People do it all the time. My wife do it. Sherb do it. You might just get in line. It is what it is. Anyways, no, the thing about Arby's is when you're going out, I just don't feel like people say to themselves, I really want Arby's. Like when you're driving out and you're like, see like a bunch of fast food restaurants, Arby's is never your first choice.
That's because you're making bad choices because they have the meats. I don't know if they told you that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying like if I see it in my line of sight as I'm driving going, I'm hungry, then that's where I'm pulling into. It's basically like that would be up. I would choose that over McDonald's most days.
You are lying to yourself.
Listen,
you are lying.
I'm here for the Arby's, so I'm with you. But I wanted to ask this.
The running back idea too. Well, I think the running backs, they're missing out.
I agree. It feels like a great opportunity for some marketing, but I'll talk to the people over there and see what they have to say about that. I want to ask you this because we're dealing with the heat. You guys are dealing with it in New York as well. I saw the tweet that said to set your AC to 78 degrees. So before you went to bed last night, did you set the AC to 78?
I plan on abiding by that as I will set it when I leave to 78. As I walk out of the hotel this morning to head to LaGuardia, I will put it at 78 to be in compliance. But yeah, I saw that too, and I saw people freaking out about it. And then I thought, I mean, it's so hot here. I mean, it's hot. I know it's hot back home too. I'm just saying, like, walking into 78 degrees probably still feels great. Like, I'm not doing it, but I'm saying, like, compared to what it's been out here, it is like someone breathing heavily on you, like on your shoulder the entire time.
I did 78 last night when we walked in from the movie theaters. And my daughter was like, it's cold. It's cold in here. That's what she said when we walked in.
That's what it's supposed to be. That's like what they were saying to do is, like, if you're not going to be home, set it to 78. And then when you come back, have it, like, if you have a timer or something. But yeah, it's whatever. I got it cruising at 74 right now, and we're good. We feel great.
All of y'all are crazy. My house stayed at 70 or probably maybe even 68, 69.
We were 67
y'all
yesterday.
Are crazy for having y'all heat up that high. Anyways, how is the bagel? You know, that was a lot of talk from leaving here, you and Fish, on this whole little food thing. How was the bagel? Is it as good as Panera Bread? Could you tell the difference?
Be honest. I used to say you should go to New York City more often. You shouldn't. So this is going to be wasted on you. It's like taking a 5-year-old and they'll be like, it all tastes okay. Bagel time. Yay. Like, it's bad. The bagels here are very, very good. I'm sure there's good places to get bagels. I know Bear Bagels is one that I think people talk about in Columbus. But yeah, I mean, the bagels here are very good. I had one yesterday. I'm going to have one today. I might get one at the airport just in case. I don't know. I had a slice of pizza last night. I'm doing all the touristy things while I'm here.
All right. So run us down then all of the places that you have eaten and give us your favorite thing so far.
Well, I went to Cat's Deli, which is the famous, you know, place you can get a pastrami on rye or Reuben. And it was, I mean, you stand in line, they had this whole system, they give you a ticket. They ask if you want the meat juicy or not, which means if you want a fattier cut or not.
Juicy.
So we did that as soon as we got off the plane. Then we had, what else do we, I'm trying to think where else we've eaten.
It's all forgettable, T-Bone. It's all forgettable because it tastes the same. It doesn't stand out to you.
We went to a sushi place and it was fine. I have learned, I am like you, Tyvus, when it comes to every food. When it comes to sushi, I can't tell much of a difference. It's all like cold fish to me. So I have not refined my palate enough on the sushi.
You
got
to go to Nobu.
It was good.
You definitely got to go to Nobu.
Right.
Yeah, but also Kroger sushi still slaps, so I get his point.
It ain't Nobu.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I would be able to tell a big enough difference. That's my problem. But, yeah. And then what else? And then we just ate, like, street food the rest of the time. Just been walking around, picking up stuff. Like,
get a dog?
Homeless guy gave me a half-eaten cheeseburger the other day. I was like, this is great. This is authentic New York right here. It was great.
Did you steal a trash can?
Did you see the people climb the Empire State Building?
No, but did I send it to you? I posted it on Twitter. Did I send you the disrespect that I saw? That we were walking around Madison Square Garden, and there was just a random garage door that someone had spray painted, and it had Jalen Brunson sitting on a throne, and it said King of the East, and then it had, I'm trying to think who the other two players were, but it had three players kneeling in front of
him. Oh, yeah, I did see that. You did. You sent that to us. I did see that. That's
one of them was James Harden in a Cavs uniform. So I thought, okay, this is fresh. This is recent. So,
all right, T-Bone. Yesterday, U.S. took on Bosnia. They won 2-0. What happened? What's the highlights? What can you tell us? What does this even mean for anybody?
Okay. Well, first off, like, winning three World Cup games, like, in one World Cup for the U.S. has never happened. So that's a big deal.
Okay.
That's good. In this game, you had Florin Balogun score the first goal. He had scored another goal. They called him offside. He was offside. He had a couple times where he got fouled and they didn't call it. This referee was a joke. More on that in a second. But he scores that first goal before halftime. It felt pretty good. Come out in the second half, and there's a play where Florin Balogun is running for a ball. He's running with another guy, and our player steps on the Bosnian player. And it's a pretty, I mean, steps on his ankle. It looks pretty bad, but it was incidental contact. You know, it's just like two guys getting tripped up, you know, going out for a pass or something. It's just play on. Except the referee, they went to review it, and they said, oh, that was too harsh of a foul. So they gave Florin Balogun a red card, threw him out of the game. And then, so the guy who scored for us, who scored a bunch of goals for us in this tournament, is now not only out for this game, out for the next game.
Mm.
So, and the referee's decision was, I thought, ridiculous. It was very bad. I've seen, people are cutting up videos of, like, Lionel Messi did this against Algeria, no call. Like, multiple good players have done this in this tournament. It's an accidental play. I've never seen this called in a World Cup game, especially, but really not in soccer that I can recall. So a terrible call from this referee, in my opinion. But then the U.S. So I thought, we're up 1-0. We're winning 1-0, but we now don't have as many players. We're down 10 men instead of 11. How are they going to withstand this for the next, like, 30 minutes? And they did. They closed out the game. They were very professional about it. They got a second goal. Malik Tillman scored that one for the U.S. Great. And he got his foot stepped on and had to change his shoe. And after the game, he was standing there doing an interview with his shoes off. You can see his sock is all bloody. So, like, it was just – it was a rough game for the U.S. physically. But they held their own. Bosnia was very tough to break down, but they eventually did. And, yeah, it was a very good performance for the U.S.
I want you to know that before we let you go, I want you to know that you are responsible for Boone Jenner not being with the Blue Jackets anymore. You started the whole take the C thing away, and it
ripped the patch off.
It was just a lot of noise, and all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. And it's all your fault.
Yeah, and I saw Zach Werenski decided to stick around. Is that right? He's here.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Turned on him, and I just remember, and I said, no, don't turn on him. Turn on the stupid organization. And then it turned out he realized he wants to be here, and that all got overblown. I'm telling you right now, when they go to the playoffs next year, they make a run, you're going to be like, damn, T-Bone was right. Got to take that C off Boone Jenner. Just like he was right with Ryan Day, motivated that guy getting going to where he could go finally win that national championship. So, yeah, you'll be thanking me come, I don't know, March, April next year. It's fine. I'll take my flowers then.
All right, T-Bone, I got to go do TV. But thank you for joining the program.
I got to go do the thing he enjoys the most.
I look forward to seeing you on Monday where I get to go back to being in the two chair. I hate you for making me try to grow as a broadcaster. But I hope you have a safe flight, and we miss you, buddy.
Thank you. Miss you, too. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. You guys sound great, though. I'm enjoying listening to it.
Thank you.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. T-Bone and Tybus, the second best way to wake up. The best way is someone yanking on your...
The best of T-Bone and Tybus on The Fan.
Did you know you can listen to us at home? No radio? No problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. It's that easy. Pull us up on the big screen and watch me and Josh debate for the next 2 days. All right, Josh, with this next topic. All right. Now, I am one of those people that I respect a lot of legends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When people retire, that should be it.
No, but she, you know, if you still got that burning desire.
No.
Right?
No.
I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is this. Then if that burning desire, if you got that, you should never retire to begin with. There is no, I'm going to take a break and then come back. Like, you just play throughout the whole thing. So my issue with Serena is she took, what, 3 or 4 years off?
I think it's 4.
And now she about to
Serena Williams.
Yes, Serena Williams. And now she's coming back. I just feel like you taking the attention from the younger people.
Did she leave when she had her baby, though?
Was that the reason?
I don't know.
She had a kid at 40?
I don't know if she came back after it and then decided, I'm finished. Here's my thing about it. The retire, unretire thing.
No, her kid's like 2 and 8, so when it happened that.
The retire, unretire thing, I don't necessarily feel bothered by that. You know, like if you...
Michael Jordan started this stuff.
Sure he did.
Although he was really suspended, but that's... Go ahead.
Well. if you feel like you can still get after it and you want to do that, it's like, I'll make one last run, show up at the big events. Like, I think it's cool for fans. Like, I'm not as connected to.
Why is that okay? But you 37, eh?
Brother, this is Wimbledon and you 37. Okay, I'm just going to keep driving by that question. And so for me, as like a fan of Serena, like her showing up at these types of events, I think brings more of a connection. It gives me more of a reason to want to watch even after she is out of the tournament. My issue with this is I couldn't get Sudafed behind the counter when I was playing in the NFL for fear of failing a drug test. Mm-hmm. For what? I don't know. How does that enhance my performance? No idea. Mm-hmm. You couldn't take the allergy medicine wanted to take.
I about failed a drug test. So it's funny. Ironically, I was talking to Josh and I was telling him like, yeah, I got this guy. This is back when the NFL came to my house to do my drug test, which Josh says you should never do.
Bobby told me. He said you never want a grown man looking at you
while you pee
in your own home.
Whatever. But anyway, well, I wish you would have told me that because I would have definitely did that that day. But anyways, I had just popped my Claritin D pill because I got allergies and I need like the highest version of Claritin. And Claritin D had Sudafed in it. So when Josh said, yeah, you know, you could, if you got Sudafed in your system, you could come up as positive. So I'm calling my agent like, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm about to fail this test because I just took the Claritin D. And it turns out like it has to be a certain amount.
Right. You got to let it build up in your system. Yeah. But the reality of the situation, I guess what I'm getting at is you can't take the damn cold medicine, but we're letting athletes take and also receive sponsorship from the GLP-1 people, and then they can go and compete. Like from a doping standpoint, like you can't take a water pill that makes you pee too much, but we can do that. That's my biggest question on this is like, where does the GLP-1 fall into all of these questions about performance enhancing and doping and all these different things like that? Clearly, I'll give you a great example. I played with DJ Fluker. You know what he was? Fat as hell. I'm certain a GLP-1 would have helped him become a better player. Where does that fit into the equation?
I see your point here, and I actually agree with it a lot, because if that was the case, it's a lot of people that struggle with losing weight. And if you're telling me you could just take a pill or a shot to lose weight and still be able to go about your day-to-day, a lot of people would do it. But the thing that makes it so hard and makes it so competitive is that you can't do those things and you still got to lose that weight. It's so many people at the Woody, so many linemen at the Woody, I used to be scared to get on that scale.
I know.
If they could just take a pill, they would jump on it with flying colors. So I'm with you on that one. It does give them a, but she's also 44.
I don't care.
What do you mean?
If you want to compete at 44, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I don't think we should be enhancing it. I mean, LeBron is getting up there. Should he just be taking all the steroids in the world?
Yeah, were you fine with the HGH getting shipped to Peyton Manning's house just because he broke his neck? Like, is that cool with you?
It was his wife's.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the cheating at all. I think nobody should take anything. Like, I was so nervous that
you could take water.
I wouldn't even take protein because it's like so many times it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. Protein.
I like getting my protein back in the day from whole food sources.
Mm-hmm. I just got mine from the facility.
You know, like you just eat the protein.
So if it pops up, then I'm going to just say, you know, I got it from.
This is Mick's fault?
Yeah.
You don't point the finger at me.
That's how I was. But yeah.
Do you remember when one of our teammates who was a walk-on filled his whole backpack up with shakes and he didn't get permission? And it became a whole. So he loaded. This was Nick Snyder.
Okay.
He loaded his backpack up.
I just seen Nick like a couple years ago.
I love Nick. Loaded his backpack up with shakes.
Mm-hmm.
They see him walking out of the weight room. What the hell are you doing? Well, I'm getting some shakes to take home. He's a walk-on. Like, I just can't go and buy protein shakes. I'm paying for school and for this. Like,
yeah.
You didn't ask. We didn't give you permission. So they made him do like a million push-ups to get a shake after a workout for like forever. Like he had to do like 100 pushups to even get a shake. And he was on Dawn Patrol for like, I don't even know how long, because they're like, oh yeah, you're going to pay us back for these shakes. It was crazy.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I walk right over there. Davis, take two. Yeah, man. I didn't know they was that serious about doing all the shakes that they got in there.
Yes.
Like,
I think it was the principle.
Wasn't it a rule though?
It was. The rule was to have a shake, and they had the different shakes for like, you know, the lower calorie ones.
No, I'm saying,
and
like, wasn't it against the rule to like give Walker one stuff?
Well, no, I think by that point, some of those rules had cleared up about what they could and couldn't do, right? Because I think in the beginning, even training table was a little bit of like a question about.
Because I don't even think they could get it.
Well, I think by the end, they were doing all that stuff with us.
Okay.
But I think it was more the principle of loading up a whole backpack and not saying anything to anybody, where they were like, you can't do that.
They should have had somebody, hey, go in there and give me like two shakes.
Well, that's what we used to do, you know.
Like, yeah, you gotta look out for you.
Like, Feta would be like, bro, I need a shake. I'd be like, all right, I get you. You know, it's just, it is what it is.
All right, we gotta hit a break. But when we come back, we got the huddle where Dylan will give us all the top questions in sports, or in football, I should say. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Newman Roofing is
and have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tyvus.
They're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan.
Joining us, our favorite uncle, Uncle Bo.
Holy cow.
Bo, listen.
Boys,
we made it. I have a new respect for everybody that sits in the one chair. It is.
Well, how's it going?
He's doing a hell of a job.
It's
all right.
Bo, it's a lot, yeah, though. Like, you gotta, like, I can't even be in the chat. Like, well, I gotta be locked. I gotta be locked in.
No, you can't be in the chat.
I gotta be locked in for 3 hours. Like, I like to be able to, like, think about other things. But yeah, it's been interesting.
Did you hit all your breaks?
I've been on time for all my breaks, actually.
We did a hell of a job. Yeah.
Well, listen, I got to get out the way so he could toss it to break. So we in tandem have been doing a hell of a job.
That's a great job.
I even had Josh fantastic. Bring it in a couple of times. He even started a couple of segments. It's actually been really good.
I'm not surprised. You were when you guys were there in 14, you were the two I went to after every game, because you were the two that would tell the truth, be candid, have a little bit of humor. Neither one of you guys were robots. You both had a ton of personality. So like in 14, the first thing I would do, some people go quarterbacks, I'd go to you two first. You were the first two guys I looked. So it doesn't surprise me that you're able to do this, and that the boat has been kept between the navigational beacons for 3 hours.
Well, we still got one more day, so let's not heap on too much pressure.
That's not crowning yet.
Bo, you know what? I come to you for my fatherly advice. Now, you have three boys that all play lacrosse. Is lacrosse an expensive sport?
I need an NIL fund over here to pay. Yeah, very. Lacrosse, hockey, both men's and women's lacrosse would be. I mean, the helmets are $400. So I mean that's your jumping off point.
So if my kids decide they want to play lacrosse, I should steer them in another direction.
No, as rich as you are, steer them right towards it.
What's
it going to hurt you?
But we've talked about this. But here's the part. I don't think you can pick sports based off of the cost anymore, because they all cost so damn much. I mean,
football does not cost.
Football might be the one, but you're only playing.
Yes,
football.
It does.
You football know, does not cost.
You've got your summer where you're doing camps, and then you've got the fall. Like all these other sports, they want you playing the rest of the year.
All right? You need to do
football doesn't cost if you're you two. Football costs for everybody else. I mean, there's pay for play in football all over the state. There's, if you're doing the 7-on-7 stuff, if it's any of that stuff where they have helmets, a lot of times you got to buy those. Like,
I didn't
realize the training.
I didn't realize.
If you're just you two and you roll off the assembly line and you're going to the Buckeyes, no, it's probably, I'm guessing there's a lot of never ending boulevards of green lights for talent like yours, but for everybody else. Yeah, man.
Bo, I didn't realize that like 7-on-7 is the thing now. Like, you get you get recruited now based off of 707. Like, it used to be just high school tape. It's not.
Yeah, and then you go to camp.
Yeah, you got to go to 707 camps and stuff like that.
7-on-7's
been
yucky.
That's ridiculous.
I think 7-on-7 has ruined quarterback evaluation.
Yeah. I think
there's some truth to that. Yeah.
There's
no
pressure. You know, some of these schools are running offensive concepts that don't make sense in actual game against defenses that don't make sense in an actual game. And you're looking at these guys and like, well, he's got a big arm and he looks pretty good spinning it. It's like, no, he can't play.
Yeah. No, yeah, that you're exactly right. So no pads in 7-on-7. No pass rush in 7-on-7, is there?
No, the thing usually have like a time
one
on
Mississippi
it.
Two.
No, like they used to have a thing where you pick the football up, you get like 4 seconds to
that
throw
thing,
it.
Yeah, 4 seconds to throw it. Yeah. Yeah. Some of NBC's buddies do it. They travel all over hell doing it.
I had no idea that was like the new recruiting thing now. Like that, I just learned this like this past weekend. Like they were like, yeah, you can't even, the high school stuff don't mean nothing. You got to go do 707 and go to these camps and stuff. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, it's changed. And I think the lesson for two young fathers like yourselves is what you're going to see is that if there is money to be made, you sports will find it.
Yeah. That's going to be
find it.
My next racket. If I ever flame out of this job. Yeah. Bet you're going to see the Joshua Perry Youth Sports League.
I'm telling you what, buddy.
If instead of the South Florida Express,
the JEP Express. Go ahead and sign your kiddos up. Hey, Bo, I wanted to ask you about this since we're talking about parenting. I was telling Tyvus about how my mom used to make us for 2 hours an afternoon in the summer. We would read. We had required reading.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we could stay sharp on our skills. Where are your kids at? Because I feel like there's been a generational shift where, you know, things went to digital and then it went to audiobooks. But now it feels like the only thing that kids ever read are like YouTube video descriptions, if anything.
Yeah. They just scroll. They try to scroll all day. That's all they want to do. They just want to go on Instagram or Snap or the oldest is on Instagram, I think, and Snap. The middle is only on Instagram. That's what they want to do. They just want to do that. So you are in an up at dawn siege every day trying to keep it out of their hands. And so it's just activity. Let's go activities. Let's do anything. And they will relentlessly pursue it. They will spend they'll hide phones. I don't know where my phone is. And it'll be in their room and you won't see them for 45 minutes. And you're like, where are they?
These kids are little criminals, man.
They are little criminals. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's relentless. It doesn't stop. They just pursue a screen at all costs. And my kids are really active, but man, it's terrifying, really, truly.
Well,
like, how much time?
They don't do, like, we used to look at, you know, Sports Illustrated Kids, and like, we used to do that as part of our leisure, right? We'd have magazines.
Physical media.
Yeah, you might even flip through a newspaper. I love the cartoon section. These kids are like, nah, I'm good.
Years ago, I bought the newspaper just so they could see me reading it, and I still get, like, periodicals. I still get GQ, Esquire.
Oh, me and you are the same.
Forbes, I don't know, Wall Street Journal. I get a handful of stuff that just comes every day. And I do it in part because I still enjoy physical media. And then in part to show them that there is more than just what is on a screen. Now, the screen stuff's pretty good. I mean, as you guys know, it's dopamine. So, like, I mean, it's pretty good stuff. So it takes a lot to combat it. But I've tried. I've tried with that. And I still like physical media. I hope physical media comes back. I hope we get to a point where Sports Illustrated comes once a week because people like touching something that represents the week in sports. I hope some of those things come back.
I think it's boomeranging. I mean, people are on vinyl now, right? Like those.
Bootsy is. Yeah, vinyl.
Bootsy got a record in his in his room. He's, he's spinning Bruno Mars vinyl. It's unbelievable.
I've got Boys to Men, and I've got Guy, and I've got Jodeci all on vinyl, and I think the old school media is starting to make its way back.
We'll talk to you later, but have a good 4th of July if we don't see you.
You guys, too. Proud of you, fellas.
Appreciate you. We'll hit the buzzer. Let's go.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
So earlier today, we were talking about, somebody asked about fighting. So if we were at the station, who would we fight in a boxing match? Well, it seems like to me, over the last few years, celebrity boxing matches have become quite popular.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, because you find out a lot of people can't fight. But anyways, yesterday, Ray J and Orlando Brown have announced that those two will be fighting in Atlanta August 15th.
Who's watching that?
I know. Now, the funny thing about this is Ray J has said that he only had a couple of months to live.
He was supposed to be on the other side by now.
This is going to be his second boxing match. The first one didn't go well. He went up against Super Hot Fire and got laid out.
I mean, he didn't look very good afterwards either. And Orlando Brown, I'm pretty sure, was like, allegedly, he was hooked on like hard drugs.
Yeah.
This guy is insane.
I, unfortunately, Dylan, think I have to watch this. Because Ray J got knocked out so bad, and I felt so bad that I missed it, that I missed something, that I need to see what happens in this fight. I actually got my money on Orlando Brown.
I'll catch the highlights on Twitter. I don't need to watch this.
I'll watch. Oh, everybody tune in to it. All right, that's going to be the end of us. Thank y'all for being with us today. We'll catch y'all again tomorrow to wrap up the week. This was T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon. The Fan.